Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Don't miss out on amazing end-of-sale savings on bedding, curtains and more. Available now in-store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hi there, a very good afternoon. You're welcome to Liveline. 51551 for your text if you want to get in touch with us and join the conversation today. 087-484-8888 by WhatsApp, and it's liveline at rte.ie, because I've been asking you for all your budget priorities ahead of next week's big announcement, and keep them coming as well. We want to know how you need a hand, where the money might be best spent to help your situation, from VAT to carers to the electricity bills as well, though we know there are no energy credits this time around. Siobhan, good afternoon to you first.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, and how are you, Siobhan? Because you contacted us in distress, you say.
Yeah, I was very upset. My voice has gone a bit. This is after giving me a bit of a chest infection. Yesterday, so I'm with Energia for gas and electric. And just for context, if people don't understand this, if you have a very big bill, and you've built up a very big bill, and you cannot afford to pay it, which, for circumstances out of your control or for whatever reason, sometimes they negotiate with you and they put you on pay-as-you-go, and you pay a percentage of everything you put into your meter goes back onto you clearing your bill. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's a couple of outcomes from this that you just have to accept. One is you can't then move provider, obviously, because you owe them money. And the second is they can charge you whatever rate they want. So because I have long-standing circumstances, I've actually gone through this twice. It can take a long time to pay off your bill, but you're at their mercy. Other people can shop around to get competitive rates. You don't have that.
I'm sorry to hear that, Siobhan. And take your time, or clear your throat if you need to as well.
That's something I've always been used to. Mm-hmm. But okay, so what happened yesterday was Energia sends me a text on the 1st of October telling me that from the 1st of October, what I'm repaying back out of my outstanding bill is increasing from 10% of everything I spend to 15%. Okay, so that's a 50% increase. Now, 10 was quite low, in fairness. They reduced it to 10. But they made a decision on the 1st of October to change it, right? So they, to my mind, the people in Energia have looked at their most vulnerable section of their customer base, people who were in serious debt with them and who have no choice but to be in this arrangement, and just decided to move some of our money for the winter away from our fuel and back onto our old bill, 5%. Now, for someone like me, in my circumstances, right, which are difficult, I was already bracing myself for the winter, dreading it. I've been in this so long. Like, fuel poverty is awful if you're trapped in it. Mm-hmm. They sent me a text like that. I spiraled. They don't understand the impact that might have on a person. They don't need that 5%. They could have charged me 20 or 25% over the summer when it's much easier. It's a very inhumane, cruel and callous decision, I believe. I don't know if anybody else is in that situation and they're with Energia and they got that text yesterday, how they feel. But it really affected me.
Mm-hmm.
Hours later, I felt sick. It went into my chest. And really, like, I did speak to them. I was very angry. I did say to the guy, I'm not blaming you. I did say that, but I was very angry. But they told me there was no email address or postal address I could complain to, and that it was a business decision and it wasn't going to change. Now, the guys were nice on the phone, but I wasn't so much. But I'm not interested in speaking to them again. You know, I'll accept it. And I looked at it, and in a really bad week in the winter, it would cost me nearly €200 to heat this house on pay-as-you-go in a week. And a person on social welfare who gets zero payments. If it was €200, it's only another tenner that they're taking back off onto my bill. I'll get over it.
It would cost you, cruel. Siobhan, you said it would cost you €200 a week to heat your house.
Yeah, because my house is old and there's a granny flat my mother's in, right? So she doesn't use the boiler as much. She has a superstar. But because of the rate, because it's an old house, it's not that big, but it's kind of spread out.
I understand.
That wouldn't even be on all day. That's switching it on and off. I'll be buying all those things to wear. I'll have layers and layers of clothing on me. It's going to be difficult anyway, but it could be 200 plus then over 100 for the electricity. So you're looking at maybe 300 a week in the middle of winter. Uh-huh. So they've just nipped off a couple, you know, another 20 quid or so back into my bill.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of money to pay for anyone for energy costs, Siobhan.
So it's horrendous, yeah.
Can I help you? Can you help me just to understand? Because as you said, other people may be in this situation, and 51551 if they want to get in touch. But just to understand your situation, I'm beginning to see why, you know, arrears could arise when you're having to pay that much for your electricity. So
yeah,
you enter into an agreement to pay that back, and then
you're
going forward, your energy levels or your energy supply is on pay as you go.
And they take a percentage. Now, 10% was actually pretty low, okay, and I accept that. But it's the impersonal and inhumane way that they sent me a text on the 1st of the 11th. I'm in bed a lot. I'm not well, but I'm not the type of unwell that I can get help with. So I have a complicated situation. I've already slipped through the cracks with the government. There's no services that can help me. I'm already neglected. You have this big energy company sending you, in those circumstances, sending you a text like that. Just tip you over the edge.
I'm sorry,
and I just want them to know that. I do want to request that they reverse the decision as well. I might as well while I'm on. I don't see why it would make that much difference. I don't believe it does. It would make a huge difference to the human beings that are already in that situation that they're picking on, in my opinion.
I'm sorry to hear you in such distress, Siobhan. Can I ask?
I'm used to it. I'm used to it.
I'll take your time there, yeah. And thanks so much for talking to us today. But can I ask you... how does it work then? Do you pay maybe €10, €20, €100 as you go, or can you even afford to do that?
Whatever I can afford.
Right.
There's one other person living here and he has a job, but it's just a regular job.
So,
and he's currently supporting the household, mm-hmm. even though he's not, he doesn't own the house, he's not the father of my daughter, and he's not going to be able to keep the house as well.
My point,
and my mother has a pension, so she pays some in. We just pay as we go. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. My question, I suppose, that I'm just trying to understand, because I can't imagine what it's like then to feel that pressure that you're feeling right now.
All
but you're
time.
Explaining it so well. But then when you pay whatever you can afford, be it a tenner or €20, you were hoping that just 10% of that would go towards your arrears. The rest is going to keep you warm next week.
It was 10%, yeah. And they just decided to change it back.
And now that's
to
changed.
Now, I remember years ago, because I've been through this twice now. I've been through this cycle twice over the last 12 or 13 years. With Bord Gáis years ago, it was 25. Do you know? So, but you're at their behest. You're at the behest about what rate you pay, and you're at the behest about what they take. And it's the fact that they sent it on the 1st of October with no consideration for the people at the other end of that phone on a text, and then told me there's nowhere to complain. It's a business decision. Suck it up. It's not right.
I don't know, Siobhan, if you've been following the comments, I suppose, from various government ministers ahead of the budget, but they have been saying for a long time there won't be a cost of living package, there won't be energy credits this time round.
Oh,
how do you feel about that?
My God, those energy credits were like a lottery win for me. They made me so happy. The electricity, you'd get €100 and would last you over a week. So I didn't know that was gone, no.
They said they were, you know, a one-off. They're not long-term measures. There will be other assistance in the budget.
Well, I'm on illness benefit and I get zero, and it's because of a very, very unfair, very unreasonable means test. So I don't have a high opinion of them.
I wonder, can you get the fuel allowance? They've been talking about expanding that this year and already rolling it out.
I might go. I'll go back to social welfare and see if anything has changed in the rules. I might be able to get something. Yeah, I'll try.
Mm-hmm. What else would help, Siobhan, in your situation?
Oh, God, I don't know. Honestly, it'll be all right. It always is in the end. It's just very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable to be cold. It's very uncomfortable to be thinking about it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's traumatic.
It's fuel poverty, as you described it. This is what it's
exactly,
like to live with it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And you just have to put up with it.
And you're so stretched, I can tell, that just this extra amount was too much to take for you right now.
It's just, you know, it's not fair. It's just, the year when Russia invaded the Ukraine, that was the winter of 2022-23, and the prices went way up. That was horrendous. That was a nightmare. The last year I was kind of expecting a nightmare, but actually the cost had come down. It wasn't as bad. But then I have to go on illness benefit, and then I got no benefits. So that's my challenge this year now, is the fact that I don't have any payments.
Mm-hmm. And the credits obviously came in response to this unprecedented situation of the war, as we were told. They were like a lotto win to you.
Yes. Oh, that was an awful. That was awful. That was really bad. But last year I was bracing myself for that again. It wasn't as bad last year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll be okay. I'll manage. But it's just... I just feel the harder things are for you sometimes in this country, the harder it then gets. Mm-hmm. You kind of get bullied across the board, you know. That's how it feels to me.
That's how you feel. Regarding the specifics of what happened to you yesterday and this notification about the increase in the proportion of what you're paying on your arrears, thank you for getting in touch with Liveline. And we've got in touch with Energia, and they've given us a statement that I've got to hand in just the last minute or two to say Energia has notified their pay-as-you-go electricity and gas customers that the debt recovery ratio will change to 15% from October 1st. So that was yesterday.
Yeah, this update, the winter.
Yeah, this update to the debt recovery ratio is aligned to the recent publication of the decision on additional customer protection measures for household electricity and gas customers, I'm told. And in line with all such...
They do not protect me with that decision. They harm me with that decision.
They go on to say, I know how you're feeling about this. It's very upsetting for you, Siobhan. They go on to say, in line with all such requirements, Energia will continue to provide all required customer protection measures, and they would encourage anyone experiencing difficulties to engage with us so we can continue to provide ongoing support. We partner with St. Vincent de Paul, MABS, that's the Money Advice and Budgeting Service, Alone, and other charities, and we urge customers to always contact us to find a solution.
Well, I've already been through that, and my solution is the pay-as-you-go. There isn't anything else. That's words. And in fairness to them, there isn't anything else, really, unless somebody's going to come along and help me. Do you know what I mean? And that's not what they're saying, you know? So I've already done that. This is... that's done. And the solution was I go pay-as-you-go. Mm-hmm. I just want to say to them, you send a text like that to people at the beginning of winter who are already freaking out at the thoughts of it, what's ahead. It's very harsh. It's very cold. And I feel that they make a lot of money out of those people because, as I said, they charge us whatever rates they want compared to their new customers on bill pay as well.
Siobhan, thanks so much for getting in touch with me. I know
no
you say
bother.
You're freaking out.
Enjoyed the vent anyway. Enjoyed the vent.
Good to get things off your chest, Siobhan, and that's what we're here for as well. 0818715815 for your texts and liveline at rte.ie.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, 0818 715 815.
And 51551 for your texts. A beautiful soul, an angel, a true friend that I was honoured to share my life with. I will forever cherish the memories we created together. That's what the British Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton had to say about his beloved pet dog after revealing that 12-year-old bulldog Roscoe died in his arms, as he put it, on Sunday. And it got us thinking about just that close bond, that special relationship people have with their pets, and how devastated many of us are without them as well. 51551, as I said, or 0874848888. We'd love to hear from you on this. Emmett, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for joining us on Liveline as well. Will you tell me about Molly?
I will. I didn't know about Lewis Hamilton. Obviously, you said it earlier on the Claire Bourne show, and I actually thought you were talking about Molly when you started talking about A Beautiful Soul, because we've just gone through a very similar thing with Molly 2 weeks ago today, where we had to take the horrible decision to put her out of her pain and distress and end her life. So I completely related to that story, although I wasn't aware of Lewis Hamilton's story. But Lewis Hamilton also had a rescue dog, I believe. I only found that out just in the last hour or so. And Molly was a rescue dog. She died only, as I said, 2 weeks ago. She was about 9 years of age, but we only had her for just over 2 years. But in the 2 years, she just brought so much joy to us. I suppose I was ringing up because I could absolutely relate to the devastation and the grief that you talked about with Lewis Hamilton. And so many people, I'm sure, can relate to it. I hope they can anyway. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's gone through it with a dog will certainly have done that. But particularly with a rescue dog, I think there's something special about that because they've come from backgrounds that are so difficult. Molly had come from a very difficult background where she had 6 or 7 years as a breeding dog, and she was in a really bad state when we got her. She had been sort of kept in a crate for 6 or 7 years, having multiple litter upon litter. And she'd never been out for a walk. She'd hardly ever been outside of a crate. She never had a bowl of food to herself. She, you know, you could tell that from her condition when we got her. And so we got her, and luckily we got her. And again, one of the reasons I wanted to sort of highlight this was because there's lots of people around the country doing great work saving dogs from those situations, because when they're finished being any use to a breeder, they're essentially discarded. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of people around the country doing great work on that. But we're aware of someone called Eileen down in the place in Limerick near Adair called Molly Mills, because we got Molly from Molly Mills, and she wasn't even called Molly when we got her because she wasn't really a pet until we got her. We see it as we gave her a different name sort of in recognition of that. So it's just to sort of recognise the great work people like Eileen and other charities do similarly around the country.
Yeah. You're right, Emma. Like, there's so many great stories out there and so many great people. And horrendous stories too, I suppose, when you talk about the conditions that Molly was in, 9 years old, but only in the last 2 years did she become someone's beloved pet and she was yours. What kind of a dog, Emmett?
She was a King Charles Cavalier, so we've had a couple of those dogs before. They're great little dogs.
Lovely,
they're you know, lots of people know them, and they're easy dogs to mind, and they're very easy dogs to love because they have that sort of real loving temperament. So she was particularly when she got used to being a pet, and she got used to having her own bowl and her own bed and all that kind of stuff that people who have a dog just take for granted, you know. So it was great to see the change in her over the just over two years we had her for. And that's the other thing to mention. You know, Lewis Hampton had a dog for many years, and that's great. And I think lots of people do luckily have a dog for many years. But even if you've only had a dog for a short time, when you have to make that awful decision or when they pass away, it's very, very hard, because you are making the decision to end their life in some way, and you've got that guilt as well that you're hoping you're doing the right thing for the dog, you know. Right to the end. And again, some people who aren't dog owners or dog lovers maybe can't relate to it, but when you are a dog lover and a dog owner, you can really relate to it, and it really changes. Your world is turned upside down, certainly for a while, and in the last couple of weeks it feels like that. So again, it's just to sort of say, you know, I'm sure there's lots of people out there going through similar emotions that we are, and the likes of Lewis Hamilton having such a high profile. It's good in a way that it brings that to sort of prominence, especially on the rescue side. I'm really a strong advocate of the rescuing. I feel if I get anything out of this, is to get that message out there that you can bring so much. You can give a dog, you can save a dog's life, really. You know, you can make a dog, bring a dog into a family, a loving family, and you get so much from the dog, and seeing them come on and see them become a pet and a part of the family is very rewarding. So look, I do feel that it's an important message that I'd like to get across, as well as remembering Molly and sort of acknowledging that grief that's around. And it's not really a grief that's I suppose universally accepted, because you know, family members pass away, and we've all gone through those kind of feelings that it's dreadful. But when a loved member of family dies, you get very similar feelings, and it's just to acknowledge that, really.
It is indeed. And 51551 or 0818715815, if listeners want to get in touch about their beloved pets or the death of a pet like this. Lewis Hamilton said that he had to make the hardest decision of his life in saying goodbye to Roscoe. Emmett, you can relate to that. Yeah. Does it feel that bad?
It feels like you know, their life is in your hands in that sense. I mean, a pet relies on you so much for their everyday existence. But when they come to the end like that, particularly when they go through an illness, and Lewis Hamilton, I think it looked like he had that with his dog as well. You go through a time where you're trying to do everything. You're going from vet day to day, trying different things to get them well. And we were doing that with Molly, and in the end, it turned out she had a brain tumor, and she like, so you're trying things and you can't really do anything. And then you have to, when you realise that it's such a devastating sort of a prognosis for a dog to have a brain tumor, it sort of in a tiny, tiny way, it makes it a little bit easier, because you know there's no real way out for the poor dog. So when you have to make a decision, because I've been here before with a previous dog, we had a dog called Oscar who went through the same thing, and you have to actually make that decision. Sometimes you're just hoping that the timing's right, as the vets say, you don't want to do it too early, but you certainly don't want to do it too late either, because somebody will suffer, either the owner or the dog is going to suffer here. So it's it's a very, very difficult decision to make, and you really feel like when you're making that decision and you're sitting there and they're the vets are great and they're very they have a very sympathetic approach to it, but it's very difficult.
Of course. Emmett, you mentioned, I suppose, what you gave Molly in terms of her finally getting to be a pet and enjoy her last couple of years after what sounded like a very difficult existence before, just being a breeding dog, as you said it. I'm wondering, was she able to relate to you? Did she take to being a pet? You know, the way some animals, because of previous experience, might be a little standoffish, or they might like men, or they might not like women. Or I'm sure listeners will all know these different quirks. 51551, if you have any thoughts on this as well, please. But what I'm wondering is, was she able to relate to you? What did she bring to the house, to ye as your pet?
Well, she was great in the sense that when she came into the house first, you could tell that she was very fearful of human beings. She would, if you went to pet her, she would tear her away as if she was being hit. So, we hoped that wasn't a sign that she'd been mistreated in the past. We just hoped that maybe she was just fearful generally of humans. But she got very used to people reasonably quickly. She was still very timid, and you'd know that she was never completely comfortable around strangers. But she got very, very comfortable in the house with myself and my wife Anna. She was like she was very, very comfortable with us. She would she spent all her time with us. We brought her everywhere we went, and that's the problem now. We can't go anywhere now without it reminding us of her, because literally we put her in the car everywhere we went with the other dog. We have another small dog as well, so she was with us the whole time, and she grew into that. And you just look, sometimes you're hoping for that, but I think we knew that she had assimilated into being a pet, and sort of knew the joy of that rather than being just a machine. Because, like, frankly, that's what they are when they're just breeding dogs. They're used as a sort of a. To use as a machine, unfortunately, in my opinion.
Now, when it came, you had to make the hardest decision too, like Lewis Hamilton. Did Molly die in your arms, Emmett?
Yeah, we both held her just across our laps, and she passed away in the vet's surgery with us there. So it's done, as I said before, in a very sympathetic way.
Can you describe how you felt at that moment?
A mixture of you're hoping that her pain has gone away and that she's not suffering, so you have a mixture of emotions, a mixture of relief, but the overriding one is just sadness and a little bit of shock as well. Again, I don't want to equate this to anyone's grief in any other context, but it's a very difficult time. But you hope that you're doing the right thing, so you've got a little bit of relief, a little bit of just shock. And then you just miss having her around. You literally miss having her around. She sat beside me as I work mostly from home now these days, and she had a little perch right beside me on the couch, and I didn't move 2 feet without seeing her looking at me. So I don't have that anymore. And again, sounds sort of a minor thing, but it is. It hits you. And we don't get into the car now without thinking of her. And we're only 2 weeks in, so we're hoping the pain will ease a little bit as time. We're hoping that saying that time is a great healer is actually true.
Mm-hmm. But for now, you are grieving.
We are grieving in the truest sense of the word, I believe. And again, that's the message. And I suppose, again, listening to the high profile people talk about it, it's the same for all of us who have a pet. And I know people feel the same about their pets, not just dogs as well. Mm-hmm. But dogs, I think, the people who are dog people tend to be dog people. I know that's a sort of a cliche, but it is. It's a grieving process.
Uh huh. And they say grief is the price for love, isn't it? But you love that dog, I can tell.
That's it. The only thing we can say going back through it is, like, we lived her from the first minute we saw her to the last, and you hope that she knew that and she got a good quality of life where she had no quality of life for the majority of her life. So I always hope that, you know, they say dogs have quite a short memory, and I hope that's true. I hope they have quite a short memory. And so if that's the case, she'll only have good memories. And we've got good memories of her.
You mentioned great people who do great things with pets and with animals there, and the rescue services. 51551 if listeners want to get in touch. But your vet sounds like they were well able to handle it too, and handled you gently on this.
The vets that we use are local, and they're we use them for years for other dogs, and they know us, and they're, again, as I say, very sympathetic. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they even followed up only in the last couple of days with a lovely little card and with paw prints of Molly on the card. And it's a nice little touch, and it shows that they do care. And again, as I said, it's not just that. It's the people who brought Molly to us. People mm-hmm. do great work around the rescuing of dogs, because that is a very tough mm-hmm. that is a very tough gig to do, and people do that in their own time. People do it in their own homes. We saw that in the case of Molly Moose, people are doing that in their own homes with lots of dogs, and not a lot of financial support for a lot of these organisations. Uh-huh. So I know there's lots of calls on people's money. I absolutely understand that.
Of course. But it's worth recognising this to Emmett, and thank you, because you've helped us do that. That's a lovely touch from your vet as well. A condolence card from the vet on the death of your pet as well. I wonder if other listeners have had similar experiences, or maybe a gesture like that has helped. 51551 if you want to get in touch with us, because many more people are getting in touch on their love of man's best friend today. Martin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
It's sheepdogs for you, is it, Martin?
Sheepdogs for me, John, yeah.
Did you always love collies?
Always have, yeah. I've been working with them since I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. 42 now, so I've spent my whole life working with them. Traveled the world and trained them, and yeah, work with them every day, 7 days a week.
You grew up on a farm then. The sheepdog had a very active role, I'm sure. Was it ever like a pet, or do you have that kind of bond with it?
Absolutely, yeah. If you don't have that bond, a sheepdog, any dog really won't respond without that bond. That bond is number one, yeah.
And I'm sure then, because it's a busy farm, you're working, you're growing up, probably dogs come and go, sheepdogs do, unfortunately, but you do get attached.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And unfortunately, because they are part of the family, as you've been just talking about. It's no different than losing one of the family when you do lose a dog, and especially when you've spent every day with the dog. Everybody has their pets and they're inside, but especially on a working farm, they're more than just a pet. They're part of the family, but they're also your right hand when you go out to do work on a farm. They do more than the people, really. Uh-huh. They say that one working dog does the work of about 8 people on a farm. So you can imagine the importance. So it's not just the bond, but the importance of what they do to keep a farm running and the jobs they do every day. You've lost all that, as well as a family pet or a family friend.
Would there be sadness on the farm if you lose a dog or an animal? Or I'm thinking when I grew up on a farm, there might be no time for sadness as well. Sometimes you might just have to toughen it up and get on with it.
No, there is, of course, a sadness, yeah. Like dogs, most dogs we have here, they're here from their very young, or they're here from their pups, and they spend their whole lives here. Even at the minute, we have a couple of older retired dogs that are just pets, they don't work anymore, and you'd still have a bond and an affinity with them. And they create memories as you go along too, especially with us. I used to travel a lot to competitions, and you have memories of where they've brought you and where you've been, and it's all to do with the dogs and what they do for us, as well as what we try and do for them, as you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. What the dogs do for us, they do more for us sometimes than we do for them.
I want to ask you more about the work the dog does in just a moment. And 51551, if other listeners want to get in touch on this as well. But can I bring in Liam too? Liam, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Liam, are you there?
I am.
Liam, I'm talking to people about the bond between man and their dogs, as well as your great sheepdogs as well. Would you have had that attachment over the years?
Oh, my God, you would. My dog at the moment is 12 and he's still working very hard. And as Mark was saying there, at your right hand, you get up in the morning, you go out, he's behind you, ready for work, no matter what you're going to do, he's with you. In the tractor or the quad or the jeep, and always with you. Uh-huh. I think he's only a pet more than a walking dog, my friend is anyway.
That's what I was wondering, because obviously you want discipline and the dog has training, but he can be your pet too.
I didn't send my pet away to be trained, and I don't train dogs, but they get used to routine.
Okay.
He's with you every day, he knows what's happening, and if an intelligent dog works for it, it's as good as a match sometimes, you know, when you're, and it's the company that also brings.
Liam, it is company, and it's that companionship, as you said. But your line is failing us a little bit there, so we'll move on for now. 51551 for your text if you want to get in touch as well. Caoimhe, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
I'm still a bit sad. We lost our 16-year-old dog about 2 months ago. And we're just not quite over it yet, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, to be honest, he had so many medical complications towards the end. I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did. He had diabetes, he had arthritis, there was a thing with his eye. He actually lost an eye at one point.
Oh, God, love him.
We ingested him twice a day with insulin every day. We built steps so that he could get into the car to save some independence, so that he could go for walks. All of these things that, when we talked about him going at the end, we thought, oh, well, won't it be great that we won't have to be tied to an injection schedule and all the rest of it? And we miss it every single day. All mm-hmm. the things that we thought that we'd look forward to without, it's actually just another cause of sadness.
Uh-huh. You changed so much your whole lives to adapt to this dog as well. But it's because he was such a part of the family.
Exactly. And, you know, I got him, my husband always says, I got him from a previous relationship because I had him before I met my husband. And he had seen me through a miscarriage, the birth of my child. I thought that when the birth of my son happened, he might have taken a hint and I thought he might kind of leave us. But he hung around for the first year of my child's life uh-huh. and developed a wonderful relationship with him as well. And I had him since I was in my early 20s, and he saved my life in so many ways. And he was just the best. I know everyone says that they've the best dog, but this lad was truly special, uh-huh. truly special.
Did I ask you his name, Caoimhe? Sorry, forgive me if I didn't get it.
Tyson. His name is Tyson.
Tyson.
When he got home, initially he started biting everything, so we named him after the boxer. But he ended up being the gentlest giant that you could ever meet. So the name really never fit him, but it was just him. It was him.
Uh huh. And you say, Caoimhe, he saw you through the birth of your child, through a miscarriage. Is a dog, a pet, is such a great comfort, isn't it? Just when maybe you don't want to talk, or you just need to feel some comfort and just to maybe have some quiet time.
Yeah, and through the miscarriage, I kind of got out and I walked a lot. And even through the pregnancy, I got out and walked a lot. And like I said, at the end, he could barely walk, but he got out for 2 walks a day. And he would be so far behind you, you'd be walking at a snail's pace. It wouldn't count as exercise for either of you. But he was there beside you the whole way. And if you sat down on the couch, he'd be at your feet. And we were there up until his last breath, both myself and my husband. He had just decided it was time. And sometimes you're lucky enough that they let you know. And he was no trouble in life and he was no trouble in death. He went so peacefully and happily, and we've been blessed with lovely vets and lovely people who cared so much about him. Mm-hmm. He made an impact on everybody's life.
Emmett earlier on spoke to us about being in a state of grief right now. Is that how you feel, Caoimhe?
I still feel like that, and I know it's odd considering you know that their lives are not going to last as long as yours. But it's like what I said, you think that you're not going to miss certain things, and they're the things that you end up missing most. We still have his insulin in the fridge. We still have the steps of independence, we call them, because he could crawl up them and get into the boot by himself. We have all these things and we're not ready to let them go, even though it's been 2 months. They just last a lifetime in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Have people noticed that you're sad and grieving, or what kind of responses do you get from people if you talk about this?
Well, I've been, again, very lucky. Everybody knew what such a big role he played in our lives. And friends of ours have gotten a plaque for us in the DSPCA Remembrance Garden. I've gotten pictures, you know, framed pictures to put up around the place. Most people commiserate, I think, on a level that although they mightn't understand, they know that it was a family member. And they understand that at the very least. They understand that you've lost something great. I haven't had anybody be dismissive or unsupportive yet. I think they know and they understand just how much of an impact animals can play in lives and how much comfort and solace they can provide. Like you said, without saying anything, they sometimes provide the best solace.
0818715815 if listeners want to get in touch. Thanks for those lovely words, Caoimhe, as well. Louise, how are you?
Hi, John, how are you?
I'm good. Tell me a little bit about why you got in touch, please.
Oh, well, I just put on the radio and I heard them talking about dog loss, and we lost our gorgeous Keela. She was a sheepdog only last Wednesday. I just said I'd send in a picture of her, and it's...
Give us a picture for our listeners, Louise. She's a collie sheepdog. What colour?
She was black and white. She had a big white stripe down her nose. She was absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. You sent us photographs too, and thanks so much for that as well. Describe her though for the listeners and your special bond with Keela.
Oh, stop. She was just so good and mannerly. We got a new puppy a few years ago, and we often said she put manners on the puppy. She just had such a beautiful nature. She was friendly. She was so obedient. It's like as if she knew what was going on. You know, if you felt a bit down, she'd come up and give you a nudge. And just, I suppose, in the last couple of months, she just got old and, you know, was finding it difficult to stand up. But... She was just a real big part of the family. Mm-hmm. We had her for 14 years, and we got her from a local farmer 14 years ago, and a few years later we subsequently met her father, called Sammy.
Right.
So it's a loss.
She was, we're hearing great stories about collie dogs and how good they are as working dogs too. She was a lovely pet for you and your children, yeah. Louise, is that right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, she was great. She just, you know, she was just so, so obedient and friendly and just a part of the family, a big part of the family, you know. She'd come everywhere with us and, mm-hmm. She was just a great pet.
How did the kids react to this news, losing your dog of 14 years, Keela, Louise?
Yeah, so we have Orla and Dara, 8 and 15, and last Wednesday when I collected them from school, I told them, you know, the time has come that we need to say goodbye to Keela. And they were devastated, but, you know, Keela was on the grass. It was actually a lovely day in Galway last week, unlike today. But so she was on the grass all day, and the kids went home. We had a few hours with her inside, in front of the stove, and they were rubbing her and, you know, just cuddling her because she was having a few little seizures. And then we had to go to the vet. Now, they wanted to come to the vet with us, but we said the two adults would go, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, it was sad, you know. But they got to say goodbye and they got to spend some time with her, which was nice.
Uh-huh. Would you say you're grieving, Louise, as well? Or can you relate to the stories that we were hearing there from Caoimhe and Emmet?
Oh, definitely, yeah. There is a loss. Yeah. The house feels just a little bit quieter. It sounds a little bit quieter. It feels that little bit more empty. You know, she'd be pottering around and clipping away with her nails. It'd be clipper-clopping on the floor, and then she'd plonk down. And, you know, there definitely is a loss, you mm-hmm. know. And I suppose even with an animal loss, it kind of brings up, you know, other losses that, you know, one would have experienced over the years. But yeah, it's mm-hmm. I suppose it's life, and it, you know, she was old. She had a good life, and mm-hmm. you know, she was a happy dog.
It brings up other losses, Louise. Does it feel like a similar type of grief to losing a family member?
To a degree, yes, it does. I wouldn't. For me personally, it's not as intense.
Yeah.
I suppose we've lost a couple of dogs over the years, but it's still a big loss. Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, there was tears shed, and, you know, the next day it was like, oh, no Keela, running out to the car. It was just Bella, and poor old Bella, who's 4. She's a young dog. She's kind of lost at the moment. So, It is a loss and a grief. But for me personally, as I said, it's not as intense as a family member.
Yeah, of course. Still a grief, and important to recognise it. And thanks to so many people for explaining that to us. We've got more people getting in touch, and I'll come to them in just a moment. 51551, please.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. 0818 715 815.
and 51551 for your text, because so many of you are getting in touch, and thank you for doing so, about the love of your pets and the loss of your pets in response to what Lewis Hamilton had to say about his angel and true friend, his pet dog Roscoe, who he said he'd never been faced with putting a dog to sleep before. It is one of the most painful experiences, and I feel a deep connection to everyone who's gone through the loss of a beloved pet. Leona, thanks for getting in touch with Liveline as well. Tell me about your situation, please.
I just texted in there. My daughter had this very special pony, and he was almost like a big dog. He was a very small pony, but he had such a great personality. And she had him for a few years, but he got sick unexpectedly. And he was like her best pal, really, at the time. And he wasn't old. I mean, he was only about 11 or 12.
Right.
And we got our local vet out. He just, had a pain in his tummy. We thought maybe a colic. And our local vet was brilliant. And he said, look, Leon, I've done all I can do. You're going to have to go further afield. So we had to go to the veterinary college there. And they were fantastic. But he had some kind of a tumour and they couldn't do anything. It was a blockage in his stomach. And we had to put him down, but it was just so hard to explain to, I think she was 8 then, an 8-year-old child, that you've got to say goodbye, you've to put your pony down. Mm-hmm. And it happens so suddenly. So I can understand what people are saying. I just text in there because we, like, the grief we had over Felix, because he was one in a million, he was really special pony that looked after her and minded her, and he'd whinny even if I was hanging out clothes on the line. Like, he was just loved mm-hmm. people. So it's just really hard to explain to a child.
No, you're explaining it well to us. But yeah, I'm heartbroken thinking about you having to explain that to an 8-year-old as well. How did she react?
Well, she was just in shock. And the vets were amazing. There was actually mostly women that came to us there in Sycamore Lodge, vets, and they were so compassionate. That's what really helped my daughter, that she knew he was in safe hands, but she had to say goodbye to him, mm-hmm. We brought him up and we had to leave without him. It's just, we didn't, we thought that, it's something that they can fix, hopefully. But we knew when our own local vet said, no, Leona, this isn't looking good. Mm-hmm. I knew my heart was serious. But she talked to him. He minded her so well. Like, he was never bold when she was on his back, and he loved her grooming him. And she was doing her bedroom there shortly after he died, and she in her bedroom, and I opened her wardrobe, and she had the top shelf of her wardrobe, like in a shrine, like dedicated to Felix. His old bridal pictures that I never really knew about. Uh-huh. So I can understand, the grief. Obviously, it's not a person, it's an animal, but sometimes, especially for children, and adults, like, they're so close to us, with us every day, and this is some really special animals that really get you,
Uh-huh.
And he was one of those. But we still have little pictures of him, but hidden away. We don't have big pictures of him because mm-hmm. it's too hard on my daughter, even though she's had other ponies since.
She'll always have some nice memories, I think, Leona. And thanks very much, because you're summing up the grief that people are explaining when they lose a pet as well. 51551, you're explaining it so well. And I'd love to hear from others if you want to get in touch. Ciarán, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you doing, John?
I'm well, and yourself?
Not too bad. I was just listening to your other callers there, and I just decided to ring in. Like, we lost our dog, Coco. She was a boxer 2 years ago this month. We're still kind of not over it, Jess.
Right.
It's just so hard. Like, sometimes, you just miss them so much. Coco, as I said, she was a boxer. She was just unreal. She was our second boxer. We got Coco straight kind of after I lost my first boy, Rocco. you know, and it's just when they go, like, you just, it's a big void in your life, uh-huh. like, that's, they're not there anymore. Like, we still have all our stuff at home, and we can't get rid of it yet. We have our lead and our harness, our food bowls, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was listening to another caller there who was saying about the dogs just getting into the cars. Like, Coco used to be my co-pilot. I couldn't go anywhere without her. You know, she'd be in the back of the car, and, you know, she just sat there. You could go anywhere with Coco in the car. She loved us, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, like, I lost my father-in-law just shortly after the COVID lockdown. And Coco helped us so much, especially my wife, you know, was her father. And he helped her. She helped my wife so much. Just for being there, like, you know, that way, like, you know, she was unreal, like, and then it came to the stage then where she had a tumour, like, in her ear. And I came home from work and the tumour had ruptured in her ear and it was straight to the vest. But unfortunately, like, there was nothing they could do for her, you know. Mm-hmm. We had to let her go, but it's so hard making that decision. You know, really, really is. So hard.
What is it about a boxer dog in particular that you like so much, Ciarán?
They're just old teddy bears, you know. The people have them, like, they know they're just teddy bears. They're a big slob, basically, you know what I mean? They just lounge around and, you know, they're full of energy. They love to get out on their walks and their run. And, like, you know, they love meeting people and they're great with children. Like, you know, my grandson was born just shortly before we had to put Coco to sleep. And, you know, for the first 2 months of my grandson, like, she just used to look over at him and into his cots. And she'd just look at him and make sure he was all right. And she'd just get down and lay underneath the cot then with him, you know, that way. And they're just so playful and, you know. But, you know, people just say, would I not get another one?
And what do you say to that, Ciarán, when you hear that?
I don't know. At the moment, we were kind of taking our time and we don't want to put ourselves through what we went through with losing Coco and Rocco, you know, because my wife fell to pieces, but I couldn't handle it at all. Aww. Like, I know, you know, it was hard. It was very, very hard. It's only in the last, I'd say, year I'm coming around to saying, you know, we made the right decision for Coco. Mm-hmm. At the time when you're in the vet and the vet's saying to you, listen, you know, there's nothing we can do. It's best if you let her go to sleep. And, you know, you're saying, oh, my God, no way. Like, you know, I can't. But you kind of have to speak for the dog. The dog is looking at you saying, kind of, I'm in pain here. Uh-huh. You know, and you're saying, oh, well, you know, what do we do? Like, yeah, okay, we'll put you out of your pain then. And, you know, but it's a hard decision to make. It is a very hard decision. I know you have to do it. You have to be sometimes, as my father used to say, kind of be cruel to be kind. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was brought up with dogs. Like, you know, I've always had dogs. Like, when I was a child, like, living with my mother and father before they passed, you know, like, my father was a dog breeder. Like, he used to show and breed Irish Terriers along with his brothers, you know. So I was always around dogs, you know. Mm-hmm. We used to show them, you know, at dog shows. And, you know, so, yeah, as I say, I was brought up with the dogs.
Big part of your life, Ciarán, there's no doubt. And you don't think you could put yourself through it again to have another dog or to lose one?
Not yet, anyway, okay. As I say, John, not yet. Maybe... Mm-hmm. In another year or two, ask me, I might then decide, yeah, well, the time is right now. But okay. At the minute, I just, you know, like, we have, like, we got Coco cremated and we have our ashes at home on the fireplace.
Really?
With Rocco. Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, we have the two of them on the fireplace with their two pictures on them and sitting there. Because they love the sitting room. When we go into the sitting room at night time, they'd follow us in and jump up in the armchair, and that's where they'd snooze for the evening.
So you went to one of these pet crematoriums. You have ashes on the mantelpiece and pictures. You're always going to remember these dogs and keep them close to you.
That's it, yeah. Well, that's it. They're in the house, they're warm, and they're, that's what we brought them as to a baby and they were pups, as I say, and that's what their final rest, well, not the final resting place, but it's the resting place for now, like, you know, when we go, like, hopefully my daughter will look after them then, you know, but for when we'll, once we're around, they're staying in the sitting room where we can keep an eye on them, and, you know, we just get a bit of comfort from that,
okay,
from knowing the rashes are in the house and the pictures are on the top of their boxes, like the vet we dealt with, they done all that for us, you know, that way. They sent the dog away to be cremated on its own, and then we got the ashes back in a lovely box, like, mm-hmm, with their name and their date on it, you know.
And it's comforting, it's comforting to you to have them there.
Yeah, well, okay, we find it is, John. A lot of people obviously wouldn't, but we find it very comforting, you know. I'd just like to say that, you know.
Yeah. If that works for you, that's how you're dealing with what is the grief of losing your pets. It's obvious, Ciarán. Thanks very much for telling us about it today.
No problem, John, and thanks very much for the call and for me able to talk about it.
Oh, we're delighted to talk to you. Thanks for getting in touch. It's 51551 if other listeners want to. Jackie, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Jackie. And yourself?
I'm good now. Thanks a million for having me.
Ciarán described it well there, I think, the grief and the comfort needed as well to deal with the loss of a pet. You can relate.
I can indeed. Actually, I was just saying there to the lady on the phone, it's kind of mad. I don't usually listen to the radio and connect. My Bluetooth wouldn't work on my phone. And next thing I heard this discussion and I was like, oh my God, it's my dog's year anniversary tomorrow. And I actually have never spoke to anyone about it really because it's just been so hard. Mm-hmm. Even like going back on my phone, I can't do it yet. To look at pictures, you know, sometimes you see people put up on Facebook, you know, lost my dog. I can't even go near that yet.
Really?
But he was just massive. Yeah, he was 17 and it was just me and him because I've no family. So he was beside me all the time.
Uh-huh. Jackie, we're so glad you're listening to the radio today and you got in touch with us on Liveline as well. Tell me a little bit more about what was your dog's name?
If you're going to laugh at this now. So we called him Sniper. when he was a puppy, he was a collie husky. He used to hide in the grass. And then when we'd walk by, he kind of jump out and he was just so cute.
Like a trained sniper. Is that what you're suggesting there? Ready to pounce?
Yeah. So, yeah, we went with that name. But he was a lovely black and white husky collie and he was just so intelligent. He was the dream dog because he was so good with other dogs, so good with kids. He'd run up and down with the kids to school and he'd go down when the bell went. He'd know to go and pick them up and bring them back. They weren't my kids, but it was just the estate we lived in.
Yeah.
And he'd go out in the green and he'd play with all the kids because he's obsessed with fetch.
I love that when it's like a dog that's everyone's dog in your local
like
neighbourhood. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say people listen to Ryan Ohm. And then when he got older, I have a camper van and the two of us went around Ireland three times, the coast of Ireland. So he's been to every county in Ireland.
Just the two of ye?
Yeah, I have a little pin map of the two of us and where we've been, and he's been to every county and he went to Scotland there 2 years ago. I thought it was going to be his last Christmas, but it wasn't. And yeah, so he just loved the camper van. He used to sit, as the last man said, he was like my co-pilot in the front. And then as he got older, he'd be on the bed in the back. And I got someone to make me this seatbelt so I could have a harness on him and he was connected to the back door. But he was hilarious. There was one day he was kind of whinging at me and I couldn't figure out. Because, you know, when you have a dog, you kind of know them inside out.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't figure out why he was whinging at me. And then I realised the curtain was closed in the back of the camper van and he couldn't see out. So he was a cute little boy. But,
very conscious of his surroundings and his travels and adventures. He didn't want to miss a bit of it.
Oh, he loved it. And he'd sit, he loved the front door of the van. He'd sit and the minute I get the camper van keys, because I have a car as well, he was out straight away and he just loved sticking his head out the window. Like he was a complete adventure dog. He was the dream. And then like my sister was coming with me in the camper van. She was like, you're bringing the dog. And I was like, well, it's either you or the dog. And she couldn't get over how quiet he was. He just slept on the floor at night time. He was just the dream. But I also just want to mention too, a massive thing for anyone listening is Sniper used to take seizures. And I started him on CBD oil and it was a game changer. So you can actually get CBD oil for dogs. And he literally started going from like 5 seizures a year to like 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which made a huge difference.
You'd have done anything to ease his pain, I suppose, or to keep him well. You were looking at alternative treatments as well, as I'm sure lots of people do for their pets now. And there's lots of practitioners out there to help you.
Yeah. So Sniper also went to acupuncture. I had an amazing vet that lived up the road called Evie. And she's from Germany, and she was like, would you consider acupuncture? And I was like, anything. And physiotherapy, because his hips started to kind of get at him. Uh-huh. So towards the end, it was so hard to make the decision because, mm-hmm. like that, I didn't want to be keeping him alive for my own selfishness. But the vet, I said to the vet, please tell me when it's time. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of, there was a few times he took a stroke, but he just kept coming back from them and he was still enjoying his adventures. Mm-hmm. Then I bought my first house with them. I started a business and he was there with me last year at the beach. And there was one day he took a seizure one night and it was very bad and he didn't come out of it. So I had to sedate him. Uh-huh. And I just said, okay, I'm ringing the vet. And he also was starting to kind of lose, like he was wetting himself and he couldn't really stand up to go toilet. So I just thought, okay, I need to make the shout now. Mm-hmm. And even though he was completely there in his head and he would still nearly look to play fetch, his body wasn't following suit. So the vet came to the house and she did it at the house and it was so nice. Like, she was so good. But, like, it was heart-wrenching. Like,
oh, Jackie, thanks so much for talking to us about Sniper today. The end of the adventures for now, but what great memories as well. And I know you'd have done anything for your dog. You mentioned the alternative treatments as well. And obviously, do check in with some of the great vets we've been hearing about as well and all the great work they do for advice. If you need advice regarding your pets too, medical advice there from your vet. So many more people want to get in touch about their pets. And I'm so glad that we've been able to give you the opportunity to do that today. 0818 715 815 or 51551.
Get in touch with Liveline on 0818 715 815.
And 51551 for your texts. And thank you to so many people who've got in touch with us today. Lewis Hamilton really started something here, and Emmett and other people we've been speaking to today about their beloved pets. So you heard Jackie there saying she can't even look back at pictures yet. It's the grief is too raw for her to look back at Sniper and all their adventures as well. But I know you do see online and my social media friends sharing pictures of their pets and just speaking about the grief they feel. And we had some listeners there as well, maybe afraid to call it that, but don't be, because it's. I think it's obvious what you're summing up. Definitely you miss a beloved friend, your beloved pet, and are grieving as well. Liveline at rte.ie as well to get in touch with us by email. Kay, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And this conversation has struck a chord with you too.
Oh yeah, to be honest with you, I just came upstairs, I was putting on a radio station and there was Rap On, which I'm not a big fan of. So I switched it to you.
Thank
you. And I rarely listen to the radio. And you mentioned dogs and that's it, I was on.
Thank you for switching to Liveline, Kay. And tell us then about your pets.
Who knows, I might stay with you.
What's that?
Who knows, I might stay with you.
You might stay with us. Kay, thank you very much. Yeah. We're glad of your company today. And do stay with Liveline. But more importantly, tell us about your pets.
Yeah, I was living in Cork City and working in Cork City. And then I moved to East Cork. So I was renting a house, a detached house with an enclosed small garden. So I said I'd give a rescue a home. Now, I just personally, I mean, I can't judge anybody else, but for me, it's rescue all the way because there are so many dogs abandoned. And then I would choose not to buy a dog because you can actually adopt for something like 250, 350 euro, whereas people pay thousands for dogs, you know, and they might come from bad situations. But I first adopted a small dog because the garden was small. Mm-hmm. And the first small dog available was in Pauline's Rescue in Newton, Cheltenham. Now, when I went down to the rescue, Lulu, the little dog, jumped on my lap and then jumped into the driver's seat of the car. So she kind of adopted me,
she
really.
She chose you.
She did indeed. And I've actually fundraised thousands for the rescues with her because she absolutely adored people. Now, Lulu was a surrender, so she came from a family who obviously loved her. She was a very confident dog. And her thing was people. She had no interest in toys or anything. It was people. I remember one Christmas I was fundraising for rescue in Maxfield in Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
And on Christmas Eve, I took her out. I had her with me and I took her out to go to the toilet. And I remember there was a woman going in towards the door, an elderly lady. And Lulu was there with the leg up, halfway through going to the toilet. But she was pulling towards the door because she didn't want to miss one human. So she absolutely adored people. And she was a fantastic little dog. And I lost her 3 years ago.
And tell me, Kay, how difficult was that for you to lose your beloved dog?
Oh, I lost 4 and 5 years. I adopted 7 Cavaliers in 30 years.
Uh-huh. But it's a sense of grief for you then each time.
Well, the first one I lost a half stone in weight the week after.
Really?
She was a little dog who had been intensively bred and very mistreated, obviously. She was traumatised. When the doorbell would go, she would be under the couch.
Mm-hmm.
But having the little confident one that I had first, Lulu, it really brought her along. Because no matter what you do, there's nothing like a confident dog to give confidence to a dog that's been mistreated.
Okay.
Because they will mimic the other dog. Mm-hmm. And if they see the other dog is confident around you, they will learn that you're okay for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kay, thanks so much for telling us about your grief on losing your beloved dogs there as well. Even losing weight, she says, in grief after losing her first pet. 51551 if other listeners want to share their stories. Barbara, good afternoon.
Hi. Hi.
Tell me a little bit about why you got in touch with us, Barbara, please.
Yeah, I just sent in a text message because I lost my cat. Now, I had her for nearly 20 years, and I wanted to give a shout out to people who rescue cats, especially as dogs get a lot of publicity and they are volunteers and it's a hard job. And I would like to join in with everybody else there saying how much I miss my cat and the grief that follows after the death of a pet. We all miss her so much here, my son as well. She was great fun and great company, and it was just so lovely, you know, coming home from work and yet there was the cat sitting in the window waiting for me. Or in the winter she'd get under the duvet in the crook of my arm, even though I promised she'd never get into the bedroom. Cats are have a way of seeking out heat, and the little things tapping your head in the morning to get you up, or if you had a nice biscuit and it was buttery, she'd tap you on the arm looking for a little bit of it.
They're clever creatures, so aren't they?
They're very clever and just so soft and loving, mm-hmm. and I think so forgiving, you know, of animals in general, so forgiving. Well, with the mistreatment they put up with sometimes, and but if given a chance, they'll come back and love you. A little shout out for cats as well there.
Okay, you're going to get me into trouble, Barbara, with my children, because I grew up loving dogs, but now we have a stray cat that I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with. But like I said, I can respect the cat's very clever nature as well here. But you think cats get bad press or don't get enough attention? Do you think you form a strong bond with a cat as you would with a dog?
I don't know, because dogs actually do study you, and they've been studying us for thousands of years, so they know us inside out. Cats are their own creature. They're independent, and they went through, you know, centuries of persecution. Cats were burned along with women as, you know, witches and familiars. So cats are wary of people, and they were not bred as herd animals or pack animals like dogs, so they're very individual. So I liked that my cat had her own definite personality and wasn't, excuse the term, my lap dog.
What was she called, Barbara?
She was called Layla. Now, she'd lots of personality. People think only dogs have personality, but like, she liked to play chasing. She liked to hide. You know, she'd get into your shopping bag. You couldn't put down a newspaper, you know, or open your laptop, but the cat would be there.
You'll always remember Layla, so, Barbara.
Ah, yeah, yeah. And I would find it difficult now to listen to Eric Clapton, which was a song I loved.
Layla, you got me on my knees here.
Yeah.
Okay. Good memories, Barbara. Yeah. And thanks very much for telling us about your cat. 51551.
Get in touch with Liveline on 0818 715 815.
And thank you to so many people for getting in touch with us today. We have really struck a chord with you in terms of these stories about losing your pets. And Lewis Hamilton struck a chord with you in talking about the loss of a beloved pet. It was one of the most beautiful parts of his life, he said, to love so deeply and to be loved in return. And we heard Barbara telling us to give a bit of a shout out for the cats as well as the dogs and the ponies as well. Good afternoon, Niamh.
Hello there, John.
Tell me a little bit about your cat.
Oh, her name was Perky, and she was fabulous. We never had cats when I was growing up. We were a dog family. So eventually, because a friend of mine had a cat and I fell in love with his cat, I said, I'm going to have to get a cat of my own. So I decided to. Looked at places where I might get one, and there was one called Gizmo, and I nearly took Gizmo, but that particular week I said no for some reason, and then within about 2 days I got a phone call from somebody who had a cat, a ginger cat, as she said, mm-hmm. which I called her Marmalade. And she said, would you like to take her? And I said, oh, I don't know. I'm just after saying no to Gizmo. But listen, call in anyway and bring her with you. And she did. And that was it. Now, she was very sick when I got her.
Okay.
So I brought her on the bus to the doctors, to the vets and everything, and looked after her, got her back in shape. It took a while, but I did. And we were best of friends because
Great.
I lived on my own.
Niamh, I'm going to be coming to the end of the programme. I'm so sorry, but tell
okay.
me... No, I just want to give you time to tell me about the loss of your pet, Perky.
Well, she was about one when I got her. Lost her, sadly, about a year ago when she died, and she was 9 when she died, and I'm lost without her. So I understand what people say when they're grieving cats. I'm still a dog person, but I'm going to get 2 cats again, eventually. 2, not just the 1, because there's uh-huh. no getting over little Perky.
Uh-huh.
So that's my story.
Niamh, thanks so much for telling it so well on Liveline today and for getting in touch with us. Thanks a million to everyone who got in touch with us today. We're genuinely overwhelmed by how many people got in touch on those issues, because I was asking you in recent days to talk about the budget or Boyzone, but cats or dogs, whatever you want to talk about, we'd love to hear from you on Liveline, and lots more to come tomorrow. Liveline@rte.ie if you want to get in touch. The programme was produced by series producer Annette Egan. Ruth Kennington was on sound, and Laura Lee Davies was our broadcast coordinator. Thanks to you for listening and for talking today. Ray Darcy coming up next. From me, John Cook, and all the Liveline team, take care.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cozy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Get in touch on 0818 715 815 or WhatsApp 087 484 8888.